This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider.
You're listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the BetRivers Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of The Bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by BetRivers. If you're not using the BetRivers app by now, what are you doing? I give you my baseball parlays Tuesday and Friday. There's all, you can bet on anything. It's a great site. It's a great app. And right now, we have a great deal for you. The BetRivers Oh So Close Parlay Insurance during the NBA playoffs. Place a parlay of four or more legs on an NBA playoff game each day. You get part of your stake back in bonus bets if you're exactly one leg short of hitting your parlay. So if you make a five, within a game, a five-leg parlay, you get four of the five right, the insurance, there you go. It's valid on your first NBA parlay of the day. See the BetRivers app for more details and to see how much stake back you're eligible for. Speaking of the BetRivers site, I'm on the BetRivers site right now to see that the Cavaliers, despite getting destroyed in games 3 and 4 in Orlando, are favored in game 5 in Cleveland tomorrow night, Tuesday night, by 4.5 points at -110 on the win line, the money line. The Cavs are -195. The over-under is 201. You know, when the Cavs went up 2-0 on Orlando, felt completely in control of those games, even though they weren't playing well offensively, we all thought they would take care of business, dominate, and the series would be over in maybe 4, certainly by 5. I didn't think there were not many people, and I wasn't amongst them, that thought the Cavs would be coming back tomorrow night in a 2-2 series. But what we should be reminded of, in the case of teams that are not great, and the Cavs are not a great team, and the Magic are not a great team, outside of the top, home court is a huge deal in the NBA, and we often forget that. Even though we know it going into a series, right? You know how important it is. It is when teams are fairly evenly matched, and we often forget it because we are biased based on what we see within the series. So when the Magic look like they can't score in the first two games, and the Cavs struggle offensively but play great defense, you think, oh, the Cavs are just going to win the series. The Magic can't score. And so we all thought it would be easy. Now I'm sure that there are a lot of Magic fans and a lot of Cavs fans that think the Cavs are going to completely fall apart, lose game 5, and then the Magic will win it in game 6. Because it's the recency bias once again. In Orlando, the Cavs continued to struggle offensively. In fact, they were even worse. But the Magic did not. And the losing team in each game in this series has not even reached 90 points. In fact, the Cavs haven't scored more than 97 in any game. 4 games in a playoff series, and they have not scored more than 97 points. 97 in game 1, 96 in game 2, 83 in game 3, 89 in game 4. Meanwhile, the Magic, who scored 83 and 86 in the first two games, have put up 121 and 112. It's a different story at home. And that should be the case again tomorrow night in game 5, which is why people were surprised that the Magic were a slight favorite in 3 and 4 after the Cavs dominated the first two games, and yet they were not big enough of a favorite. And why a lot of people will be surprised that today here at BetRivers, the Cavs, as I mentioned, are a 4.5-point favorite, even though they've been destroyed in the last two games. And destroyed is the right answer. I mean, they lost by nearly 40 points in game 3 and lost by over 20 points in game 4. So they were not in these games. They got embarrassed. Nobody really played well outside of Jared Allen. Jared Allen was the guy we were critical most of last year because of the comments about the lights not being or lights being too bright. And he's been their only bright spot in this series. He's played well on both ends. But Donovan Mitchell, these last two games, has not played well. He has not played well at all in Orlando. Darius Garland has no showed in the playoffs, much like he did last year, 2 years in a row. Donovan Mitchell in this series is averaging 21 points. But remember, he scored 30 in the first game. The last three games, he has 54 points. That's not good. That's 18 a game. They're not going to win a lot in the playoffs with Donovan Mitchell averaging 18 a game over three straight games. He has shot 25% from three. Horrendous. And the two games in Orlando, he was 2-for-10. He shot 43% from the field, but in the two games from Orlando, 11-for-30. Each game, it's gotten worse. Donovan, he shot 53% in game one, 41% in game two, 38% in game three, 36% in game four. Donovan Mitchell has been terrible in the two games in Orlando. And let's face it, since the first quarter of game two, Donovan Mitchell has not played well. Now, I know he's not fully healthy. That's just the reality of the situation. He has not played well at all since the first quarter of game two. Darius Garland, it's been a complete disaster in the postseason for him. After a miserable postseason last year where he no-showed, he's averaging 12 points a game. 12! He's shooting 40%, 41% from three. He's actually shooting pretty well from three. And 42% from the field. So he's the shooting percentages are fine. He's just not shooting the ball enough, and he's not being aggressive enough. And he said, it's just been ugly. It's been ugly. He's averaged 12 points, 3 boards, 6 assists, and 3 turnovers. Just not good. Not good all around. And in the last three games, between Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, they're averaging under 30 points a game between them in the last three games. So the Cavs cannot continue to win that way, will not be able to win that way. However, I do think they'll bounce back. I think Donovan Mitchell will play well tomorrow night at home, and I expect the Cavaliers to go on top 3-2. And this series could end up going 7, very likely, with the home team winning every game. Meanwhile, the Cavs, if they do win, their next opponent, likely the Celtics, so that's not a sure thing, obviously. Celtics lead their series with the Heat 2-1 with Game 4 tonight in Miami. I go to the Bet Rivers app again here to see the line on that game tonight. Boston is a 10.5-point road favorite, minus 500 on the money line. So obviously they're a significant favorite to win tonight. We'll see if they take care of business. But a couple days ago, we thought maybe the Cavs have a quick series and they'll be able to rest before they play the Celtics. Well, now you're just hoping to win the series. Forget about any kind of rest. The Celtics win tonight in Miami. They probably end that series in Game 5, which is Wednesday. So that series could be over Wednesday, whereas the quickest the Cavs series could be over, I don't think they play again until Friday after tomorrow, yeah. So best-case scenario for the Cavs, they're done on Friday. That would mean, obviously, winning tomorrow night at home and then winning in Orlando on Friday night. It's going to be tricky. And so far, obviously, these games have not been competitive. The home team has dominated the games in this series so far. All right, let's switch gears to the NFL draft. Obviously, I was away this weekend, so I wasn't doing any NFL draft breakdowns. And if you know me, you know I'm not a big fan of draft grades. We can grade the Browns draft in about 2 years. That's when we'll know. So let's look, instead of grading the 2024 draft, I want to grade the 2022 draft and where we're at. But first, I will mention that, the Browns, because of the Deshaun Watson trade, have not had a first-round pick since Greg Newsome in 21. They had not even picked in the second round because of other trades they made or trades down since also 2021. They did draft Michael Hall Jr. in the second round. Buckeye fans obviously know him well. I'm always honest that I think people that are in my business pretend they know how good these draft picks are. Most of them are talking out of their ass. I don't know enough about Michael Hall and how good he's going to be in the NFL. So I turn to the people who are experts at it, and there seems to be mixed opinion on Michael Hall in terms of his consistency. And so there is some question about how good he will be. The Browns have not done a particularly good job drafting defensive tackles. They've done a good job on the end. They've done a good job at corner. They've done a good job at safety. But defensive tackle has not been their strength on the defensive side of the ball. Michael Hall is obviously a talented player. He's a big-time recruit going to Ohio State. And he's from the area. So obviously everybody's rooting for him. The consensus seems to be pretty positive about third-round pick Zach Zinter, four-year starter at Michigan on the offensive line. And they did obviously the Browns didn't have a fourth-round pick. Their fifth-round pick, the first skill position, the only skill position player they drafted, Jamari Thrash in the fifth round out of Louisville. He drafted a guy in the fifth round. He's a long shot. The other picks, Nathaniel Watson, a linebacker in the sixth, and they took two defensive players in the seventh round, Miles Harden and Juwan Biggs. Those guys are long shots even to make the roster. But, I mean, Hall, if he performs well in OTAs, he performs well in training camp, he has a chance to be in the mix at defensive line. Zach Zinter is probably not going to play this year. Hopefully, well, I should say this. Hopefully he doesn't play this year because that means the offensive line stays healthy. But I think they're looking at him as a starter in 2025 and beyond. And Jamari Thrash will have an opportunity to contribute in some way over the next couple of years, maybe even this year. We'll see how much he can get himself in the mix. Watson's a linebacker, the sixth rounder, and their Browns are pretty thin there, so he has a chance to contribute. As I said, the seventh rounders are a big long shot at this point. But I want to go back and grade the 2022 draft because now we're 2 years later and now we actually have facts of what they've done on the field. And you got to, when you grade the 2022 draft, it's tricky because the Browns did draft a lot of players, nine guys, but they were all third round picks or later. So when I look at what the Browns did that year, I'll take that with a grain of salt because they did not draft anybody in the first, second round. Their first pick in 2022 was a third round pick at 68, and that was Martin Emerson. That's been a big hit. You've gotten excellent value for Martin Emerson as an early third-round pick at 68. He has four interceptions in 33 out of a possible 34 career games. He's never missed a game due to injury in 2 years. I think he sat one game because they had locked it up last year. I believe that was the game he missed. He's played very well. He is a very good number two corner. He's not a superstar, but he's a very good player, well worth the 68th pick. The second pick the Browns had in the 2022 draft was Alex Wright at defensive end. He was picked 78th, 10 picks after Martin Emerson. He has also played in 33 of a possible 34 games, so he's been pretty healthy. He finally showed some progress at the end of last year, had five sacks at the end of the season after not getting much of an opportunity nor playing much in terms of defensive line snaps. He played in other areas. But I thought he showed good progress at the end of the year. So I give Emerson an A, that pick an A. Alex Wright, I'd say, is incomplete. I'll give right now a B-, but I think it has a potential to be higher than that. David Bell, the final third-round pick, 99 overall. Looks like he's nothing. I'm giving that pick a D-. I think this is probably his last year with the team. Perrion Winfrey, obviously, that pick's an F. He was a disaster, no longer on the Browns. Cade York is back with the Browns. That pick's an F. Jerome Ford in the fifth round. Nice pick by the Browns there. Considering it's fifth round, that pick's an A-. I mean, Jerome Ford was a starter last year. He had a decent season. He had nine total touchdowns, over 1,000 total yards. He wasn't great. He wasn't Nick Chubb, but who is? He did a nice job, solid player, contributing back. He got him in the fifth round. The rest of the pick six and seventh rounders, there's no real winners there. I'm not going to worry about grades for six and seventh rounders unless it's a positive. So overall, I'd say the 2022 draft is a decent job considering they didn't have a first or second round pick. They traded down to get out of the second round. But Martin Emerson's a big hit. Jerome Ford's a good hit. Alex Wright is improving. So, considering no first or second round pick to do that well, I'd say overall it's a pretty good draft. I'll give the Browns a nice B for that draft overall. So there you go. All right. Final thing. The Guardians, it was an interesting weekend. I thought they played well overall against the Braves, but they did lose 2 out of 3. They blew that game yesterday, and there was some really sloppy base running. I didn't understand Steven Kwan trying to steal third in extra innings. I get that he, he felt like they missed an opportunity to get a runner to third, but Steven Kwan, you got two good hitters coming up. You're very fast. He could score from second base. I thought that was a weird move, and then Jose gets thrown out on the bases. So, listen, you got to win the games, but in the end, the Guardians are still playing great baseball. For what it's worth, I don't think there's like messages you send during the regular season, but they clearly did not look outmatched against the Atlanta Braves, and the Guardians still have the best record in the American League, despite losing 2 out of 3 and 19-9. Kansas City, 2.5 back, the Tigers 3, and the Twins, who have been playing better, they've won 7 in a row. Even the White Sox have won 3 in a row, but they're still 13 out. We'll have more on that at the Ultimate Cleveland Guardian show today. That's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back tomorrow after the Cavs game. When the Cavs and Magic game is final, we'll do a reaction podcast then. Until then, I'll talk to you soon. Where else but right here in the bullpen with Adam the Bull, brought to you by Bet Rivers. See you, everybody.
Thanks for listening to The Bullpen with Adam the Bull on the Bet Rivers Network.